Press the button.
May I ask everybody to put their cell phones on vibrate or turn them off? So I do the same thing. I actually figured it out. Calling to order the Planning Commission regular meeting. Commissioner Barnhart, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Please place your right hand over your heart. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Ms. Sanchez, would you call the roll?
Yes. Okay. Chair Heasley?
Present.
Vice Chair Durr is excused tonight. Commissioner Manchin?
Here.
Commissioner Ebley?
Here.
Commissioner Barnhart?
Here.
Commissioner Paxton?
Here.
Commissioner Thomas?
Commissioner
Wyatt is excused. Commissioner Lopez and Daly are absent.
Thank you. I have only one speaker slip. It's an applicant. Mr. Liang, would you administer the oath to the applicant?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you would stand, please. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you're about to give before this body will be the truth? Whole truth, nothing but the truth. If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Please be seated. Thank you.
Would staff recommend for the consent agenda?
Yes, sir. So staff recommends item number one, minutes of April 15th, 2015. Staff recommends approval of these minutes. And item number three, just what would like to update you and clarification. I know Stephanie yesterday had emailed you that the applicant has requested to withdraw the application. Subsequent to that email this morning, we've got an email from the applicant owner clarifying his position. Now he would like to be he would like to come back to you at the next hearing, so that would be June 17th. Instead of withdrawing the application, he would like to be heard at the next hearing. So on this item number three, it's sign program 1501. It's a request for approval of a sign program to modify an existing 32-foot freestanding pole sign and install a 50-square-foot electronic message center EMC sign at 24 feet in height. The address is at 2601 East Highland Avenue, and that's in the commercial CG1. It would be exempt from CEQA 15301 existing facilities. Staff recommends that this item be continued to the next hearing on June 17th. And that concludes the agenda, consent agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings have been opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon a request of the member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. Anybody have anything that they wish to pull from the consent agenda? Being none, I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion and a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Carried unanimous.
Okay, and so we'll have our assistant planner, Travis Martin, present item number one.
Okay, item number one this evening is administrative development permit 14-023. It's a request for approval to obtain an alcoholic beverage control type 20 license for off-sale beer and wine. I'm sorry about that. It's for an existing 26,907 square foot, 99 cent only retail store. It's located at 2028 East Highland Avenue in the commercial general zone. A little background on this project. In February of 2013, the Planning Commission approved conditional use permit 1301 to establish the 99 cent only store. In May of 2014, they submitted the application for to obtain the ABC license. We received a completed staff study by the police department in September of that year. The item was reviewed by the DERC in December 18th. On March 15th of this year, we scheduled the item for review on the 18th, sent out notices. Subsequent to that, there was an error noted in the study, and we received a revised study on the 18th of that month. This is the property in question, highlighted in black there, or outlined in black. It's located on the northeast corner of Highland Avenue and Sterling Avenue. Here's an aerial of the shopping center. It is the larger building located just right where the cursor is indicating. This is just another plan for the shopping center. You see the 99-cent store clearly called out. And then the floor plan for the store, the proposed sales area for the beverages would be in the far right rear corner of the store. And our recommendation is that this item is approved subsequent to the findings of fact contained in the staff report and the conditions of approval therein as well. There are some minor corrections we are proposing for the conditions. Sorry, let me flip this page. On item two, or on page two of the conditions of approval, number nine, letter E, we do want to add it to say no malt beverages or no malt beverage products shall be sold with alcohol content greater than 5.5% by volume. On letter H, we would just like to add the words are prohibited at the end of the statement. On the next page, also under number nine, letter L, it should be revised to state the owners and all employees of establishments involved in the sale of alcoholic beverages shall complete an approved course, and that the training, shall complete an approved course in licensed education on alcohol and drugs or other responsible beverage service training within 60 days of the approval date of this ADP or within 60 days of date of hire for employees hired after that date. Additionally, I believe there's one other condition that we're looking to add. Regarding concerning
condition number
licenses.
23 that
yes.
I proposed.
The condition, what we'd like to add is number 23 on the list, would be read to state that no sales of alcoholic beverages shall commence until the applicant shows proof of purchase or surrender of an ABC Type 20 license from a business located within the city of San Bernardino or its sphere of influence. That would be additional to any currently being involved in this project.
Correct. Do we have the language correct, Mr. Pena?
Yes, I believe that's the language that you're proposing, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any questions from any of the commissioners on that additional condition?
Actually, one thing just to clarify, we want to note, provide evidence to city staff, not back to the commission itself.
Correct, to the city
correct?
Staff.
Okay.
Of proof of a surrender of an additional ABC license beyond the one that the applicant already has as a surrendered from the previous vendor.
Okay. And that would be all of the changes that we're proposing to the conditions.
And you've discussed this with the applicant?
We did mention it to the applicant just prior to the start of the meeting here.
Well, I want to give the applicant the intent of what we're doing. We have a plethora of ABC licenses within this city, more than the required number, the requested number, the approved number by ABC in each census block. And what we're trying to do is reduce the number of ABC license to a more reasonable level. And so instead of denying the application, I thought it would be better because I support moving good businesses, which a 99-cent store brand is a good business. Instead of denying them wholeheartedly, I want them to put the effort out to help us reduce the number of ABC Type 20 licenses off-site sale to mitigate some of the issues we have both with law enforcement and with nuisance problems that that the smaller establishments seem to generate. That's the reason why I wanted to propose this as an additional condition, and I'm looking to see if that's within the scope of what the rest of the commissioners would entertain as a viable way of helping our city reduce the number of ABC licenses. I wish it was mine, but no, I don't take credit for things I don't. Somebody else came up with the idea, and I just ran with it. Does the applicant have anything he wishes to state or present? At this podium over here, we have one just for you, sir. I need your name and address for the taped record.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Steve Rawlings. I'm here this evening on behalf of 99 Cent Only Stores. My place of business is at 26023 Jefferson Avenue, Suite D in Marietta, California. So with that, I would like to state for the record that we concur with the staff recommendation and the findings. The couple of minor changes to the conditions I fully expected because I caught those when I was reading them myself too and realized that there was probably a couple of words that were off there. I had just two quick questions. One was the reading of the requirement for the ABC training, the RBSS training.
Yes.
Is that limited to managers and cashiers that handle alcohol?
I believe. Sorry.
Typically, and the reason I say that is typically conditions when I see that, we have no opposition to that. That's a great practice. I encourage every city to require every business dispensing alcohol to make their employees that handle the alcohol and managers go through that program.
Mr. Chairman, if so I can answer the
defer
question.
Defer to the city attorney?
Yeah, that is a requirement for the owners and employees who are involved in the sale of the alcoholic beverage.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that because there's some employees that it doesn't make sense for us to send to the training because they might be just, you know, inventory people, but the people that are the cashiers and the managers, we have no issue. I just didn't pick that up.
So. I'm sorry. The condition specifically reads the owners and all employees of establishments involved in the sale of alcoholic beverages.
Employees involved in the sale.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. That's acceptable with us. I would start my comments only on the last condition, and I will applaud any community or any condition that is actively involved and takes an interest in participation in the dispensing of alcohol in their community. It's a very, very serious subject, and that I applaud each and every one of you for taking the time and having your city make businesses go through some type of use permit process so that you can place conditions on there. I work this type of industry throughout the state of California, and invariably I work with law enforcement agencies, and invariably the outlets that cause them the problems are the ones that don't have conditions of approvals. They were grandfathered in. There's these liquor-only type of stores. There's these bar-only places. And guess where all the calls to services are from the police? They're at these places that are, you know, selling singles, big malt liquors. They're at these bars that are just nothing but bars, and there's fights and all of that kind of good stuff. So I preface that by saying, you know, again, I applaud your city for taking the time to make that go through there. I did not know about this condition at all, so that I'm somewhat blindsided until 60 seconds before that.
That's right. Staff didn't know about it until about 35 minutes ago.
Correct.
That's when I came up with it.
And I'm reading a text from a staff member back at the office because I wanted to know the availability of that. And my only objection would be, boy, I wish I would have known about this a year before, which is when I filed my application. Had I known this, then we could have made some preparations. This potentially can delay us quite a while, 1 year. From the time I submit an application to the time I'm here at the Planning Commission seems, to tell you the honest truth, a very, very long time. Usually these applications are ushered through in about 3 months. So My comment is this. It sounds like you folks are fairly resolute, and I will certainly accept the condition because it appears to me that you folks are fairly resolute in that, and I just want clarification that it's within the city limits and or the sphere of influence. I assume I can see a map that shows the sphere.
Yeah, there's some pockets of county within the city that would be included in that as far as it's acceptable, at least to me. If the fellow commissioners agree, because we have as much trouble with a location just outside the city limits, which is a county pocket, Arrowhead Farms, et cetera, is one that's describable. And they have the sales, and it's right next door to the city. So that would be a surrender, which would be a benefit to the reduction of the overall density.
So it's a surrender, or I can actually purchase that license and move it to my store so there's no new net.
That's correct.
You're not adding to the number of licenses here.
We want to reduce the number of licenses overall. And I believe there was a timeline discussed upstairs. Would there be clarification from you, Henry, or from Mr. Persico?
Well, the administrative development permit is good for 2 years, or else it'll expire. And so we're assuming that you'll find one as soon as possible. But you have up until that two-year period of time in order to make that purchase.
Okay. The company that I'm affiliated with, we also are pretty active in the buying and the selling of licenses on there, and I was texting my colleague to find out are licenses relatively available here in the city. He's indicating that he thinks they are, so I think that within 2 years we would be able to do that. Because it sounds like it's going to expire anyway, so if I don't get it done, I guess I could come back up and ask for an extension?
Yes.
In order to be able to locate one of those?
Yes, an extension to an administrative development permit can be applied for. I think it's a one-year
yes.
extension, right?
That's correct.
All right, so I think that covers my only objections at all was trying to reduce it. Obviously, I would look towards, if you can get it out of the same census block, or an adjacent, immediately adjacent sensor block, that would be the top level of reduction. Concentration around your facility, that makes, also for the business, that makes your facility one of the locations to make the purchases.
I understand what you're saying, and like I said, I sincerely do applaud your city for taking an active role in monitoring the alcohol, and I understand that, and I understand that in your community you have a lot of like legacy licenses that might be more problematic than that. I know that you guys all know that you'll find 99-cent Only's is a really clean operator and so on and so forth. So, we will agree to the condition to locate a license within the city limits or the sphere of influence and see if we can obtain that in a relatively short order so that we can add that to our product line. I do understand the store is open and it's doing, fairly well, and we are embarking on another location, right? I think we could probably throw a baseball to it just down the street here. So you folks will probably be seeing me again here in the near future. So with that, I'm free to answer any other questions that you might have, but if I would agree to those conditions.
Well, if you're coming in with another one, be aware that probably condition it the same way.
We'll go out and look for two.
Oh, yeah.
Look for two for each one.
What are your store hours of operation generally?
Oh, you know what? That I'm glad you asked that. It's from 8 to 10. I would ask this of the commission, though. Could I get a little bit of latitude and have my store hours possibly till 11 o'clock? Because in talking to their regional operations, there are from time to time, like around the holidays and so on and so forth, that we may keep the store open a little bit later. And it becomes problematic from us communicating to store managers like, hey, you can't sell any alcohol after 10 o'clock, even though we're staying open until 11. So if I could get some latitude that we could have our stores stay open until 11. 11's the max. Okay. We never stay open past 11. Our standard hours are 8 to 10, but from time to time they may stay open at 11, and it would just be easier if I could just get that into the conditions that I'm allowed to sell up until 11, even though most of the time I won't.
I don't have any issue with extending the hours on that basis. Is there any legal concern or anything else that might be applicable to extending the hours?
I think staff would concur with that.
Pardon me?
I think that staff would concur with that. 11 o'clock would be fine to modify the condition.
Any discussion from the rest of the commissioners?
And that's just like holidays, special days.
Typically. All of our stores.
Not all the time.
No. Right now, our standard hours are till 10 o'clock. I don't foresee that changing anytime in the near future, but I do know that from time to time they will stay, like the night before Thanksgiving. People are rushing around to get some food and some last-minute things. They might stay open, and that's typically all it is.
So we can just add some language to the end of Condition 19 that just says the business is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., just with extended holiday hours until 11 p.m. That would work.
That's fine.
Yep, that's acceptable.
Good. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or for either the applicant or staff?
This is just one of your 99 cent stores, correct? And you mentioned you're going to do it to the other newer ones? Or will the company, do you think the company as a whole is going to do it to all stores or just these particular ones?
Rolled out kind of a phase one, so we started licensing stores in the chain. There's approximately 300 stores in the state of California. Maybe it's between 250 and 300. Mm-hmm. They are actively opening additional stores. Of the ones in California, I believe that we have less than 100 that have licenses, and it is partly my job to now go through and make applications. And they are 99 Cent Only Stores is a really great retailer. I hope that all of you shop there. They've expanded their product line to include a significant amount of groceries and significant amount of fresh produce, and they've certainly captured a certain audience that looks at them as their primary grocery store nowadays, and they're continuing to expand in the state of California when you've got other retailers that are shrinking. And I do know of one other one that we have here on 4th Street, and they're back at ICSC in Las Vegas right now looking at more and more locations, and the Inland Empire I know is one of the areas that they feel like they can compete very well in, and it wouldn't surprise me if you guys see me multiple times over the next few years, depending on the store openings.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Well, at that point, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
We have a motion, and the motion is?
Planning Commission staff recommends the Planning Commission approve administrative, if I'm reading the right one.
Number two. As modified.
As modified, correct.
Yeah, I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried unanimous. Thank you and welcome. Public comments? Nope, no public comments tonight. Thank you. Planning Commission's reports, announcements. Okay.
I have an announcement as well.
In June. You'll be absent?
No, I have an announcement. I have an announcement too.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead.
I recently put my house on the market. It's sold. And I bought another house in San Bernardino, but it happens to be just outside of the city limits, so I'm going to have to resign my position with the Planning Commission.
No.
Denied.
Just want to let everybody know how much I've enjoyed working with you and on this commission. It's been a great pleasure for me.
Maybe we can get your neighborhood annexed.
I would
just love annex
that.
His house. Just his house.
We're shooting for it.
So you're going to be in one of those county pockets or a sphere of influence?
It's Rosina Ranch.
Oh, that's Fontana. San Bernardino County, yeah.
It's 92407, the address is in San Bernardino.
That's just a post office box.
I thought it was in the 64, actually.
No. It doesn't come, if you look closely, you guys will probably be either put into Rialto eventually or Fontana. Most likely Rialto, you'll do north of Rialto.
And if we got annexed into a city, that would be probably more likely.
Won't change your zip code, though. Federal government doesn't mess with those. Just because you're annexed. That's interesting. Well, thank you for your service. We appreciate the help that you've given us. So you're resigning as of whenever you move. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you again. Director's report.
Yes, thank you, Chair and Commissioners. I'm going to have Stephanie pass out a couple of items. The first item I'd like to talk about is the development code, just to give you an update on what we've done over the last month since the commission last met. I did attend the NAC president's meeting a couple of Saturdays ago and made a presentation to the presidents informing them of update on the development code, answered a series of questions, and told them kind of what our timeline was for completing the project. I don't know, Commissioner Ebley, if you have anything that you want to add to that.
Just that it was very informative and everyone really liked it. Thank you very much.
I don't know if you've heard any feedback from anybody or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, great. Okay, thank you. After a meeting with the presidents, we are going to go to the LRC, the Legislative Council's Council's Legislative Review Committee on June 2nd to give the Council Subcommittee an update on the process and where we are. And then on June 17th, we'll actually have an agendized item. The consultant, Ann McIntosh, will be here to conclude the first phase and talk about what we've heard from the public, the listening sessions that we've done over the last 6 months, and then lay out a roadmap for areas of the code that are going to be amended, and then talk about, as you heard me talk and Ann talk back in January, we are collapsing the zoning designations. We've got, again, 11. We've got 8 residential designations, 11 commercial, and 5 industrial, and we're going to be significantly reducing the number of zoning categories that we have. And we've got a rough matrix put together, and then we're expanding the use categories. The reason we're doing both of those is to streamline the permitting process, to make it not only easier for the public to understand, but for the business community to understand, and I think most importantly for staff at the counter to explain to the public the structure of the zoning and development code. So that'll be at your next meeting on June 17th. And then on July 6th, we'll be making a presentation to the full council. So that's kind of what's happening over the next 2 months on the development code. I don't know if there are any questions from the commission before I go to the next item. Well, if there aren't any, at our last public hearing on April 5th, when Highland Hills was heard, that agenda item was heard, there was a question about the notification. And what Stephanie handed out to you, commissioners, are 2 different maps. One, which should be the top map, which was the original notification list. And then the second sheet is the revised notification list. What we found out, yes, there's a small portion of the project which is just to the east of, I want to make sure I get the street name here. Yeah, there's a small portion of the project which is, now Terrace is not the name of the street, and I unfortunately can't read that street name.
If everybody's map is marked, it's highlighted real well.
Yeah, it's it's Orchard Road. Sorry.
Orchard.
Yeah. So the majority of the project is north of Highland Avenue and west of Orchard and Terrace. There's a very small part of the project which is highlighted just to the east of Orchard. And when the applicant prepared the radius map, the company that they used didn't understand the full boundaries. And when we received it, we didn't catch that omission either. That has been corrected for the, there has been an appeal filed. I should update the Planning Commission. There has been an appeal filed again by Corey Briggs on behalf of the Homeowners Association. And that item will be heard by the City Council on June 1st. So the revised notice includes these properties. It turns out that there were, out of the 100-plus notices that went out, there were only 12 people that didn't receive. There were actually 449 notices that went out, and 12 properties were inadvertently omitted by not including a 500-foot radius from that small highlighted portion of the project. Yes, actually two of them were here. You know, that again, that issue has been corrected, and Henry Impeño is going to talk about kind of the due process issues and the substantial due process issues. We do believe in We will emphatically say that the Planning Commission hearing was an appropriate hearing. People did receive adequate notice consistent with state law, and the notice was published in the newspaper. And again, that item has been, that error has been fixed. So those people do now have notification of the June 1st meeting. And then I'll let Henry add some comments.
Mr. Chairman, if I could advise the Commission, the law requires that the city substantially comply with our ordinances requiring notice in this case. As Mark mentioned, there was 449 notices that were sent out, properties, parcels that were sent notices, and 12 parcels were overlooked, which translates to about 2.6% of the total number of notices that should have gone out. So that meets substantial compliance. In fact, it's a really good percentage, if you ask me. The fact that also the two residents that did not receive notice heard about it and came in to speak waives their opportunity to litigate challenging the city on that. It would only be people who actually did not receive notice and were not present because of that. But we have corrected it. Those people will be given notice, as well as any persons who were here at the meeting who are even outside of that 500-foot radius. They've been added to the mailing list and will be given notice for the council meeting.
And then if there aren't any questions on that, the last item I'd like to bring to the Planning Commission's attention is the major projects update list. I believe this was emailed to you. I mailed this to the commissioners earlier in the month, but didn't have a chance to give you a hard copy or answer any questions that you have. So Stephanie has passed out copies of the item that was sent out earlier. Again, in the interest of pushing information out from the department, Aaron and his staff and Stephanie do a great job of updating this every month. So it is posted on our website for those people who are looking for information. I am, and the whole department is firmly committed to getting information out any and every way that we can. So happy to answer any questions if you have any on the major projects update list.
What's the latest on the mall?
City, I'll just give a little bit of history again. The city sent out letters to approximately 85 developers in December inviting interest. We received 9 letters back, letters of interest back from developers. All 9 of those firms were interviewed by myself, Bill Manis, the deputy city manager, Alan Parker, the city manager, and Jim Morris, who's staff to the successor agency. We have come up with a short list of 4 firms. Those 4 firms will be invited to a second round of interviews the first week of July. And by the end of July, we hope to have make a staff recommendation to the council to enter into what's called an exclusive negotiating agreement in ENA. And what that does is allow the city and staff to work with that developer exclusively for a period, typically they're 12 to 18 months, and that allows them to go through the community engagement process, the permitting process, the environmental review process, and at the end of that ENA period, if all goes according to plan, they would actually have a development agreement or be well on the way to having a development agreement and an entitlement to reuse the mall. So we're probably still optimistically 3 years away from anything happening, but there is definitely movement on the mall, and we were very happy to see that that 9 developers, you know, were interested in engaging with the city and looking at reuse for the mall.
But in a nutshell, we're looking at mixed use, that some sort of mixed use.
That has not been fully defined, but I think that's safe to say. Yes, the 9 proposals that we got were. They were very interesting. They ran the range. We got one that was saying it should be an industrial site, one that wanted to use, envisioned basically a cosmetic surgery center for the entire mall. Yeah, it was interesting, the range of proposals that we received. But the majority of them fell into the mixed-use category. So I think it's safe to say that, yes, at the end of the day, it will be some sort of office, residential, and retail mixed-use project.
Thank you.
Certainly. And that concludes my report.
If I could go back to this episode with, this is not the first time we've had some errors made in notifications. I'm looking at what are we putting into effect to prevent this, because it causes a whole bunch of angry people, at least on notification. Is it just we're overloading our staff, Mark, or are we trying to go too fast?
Well, we're all human, I guess, is the best way to start. I don't know how frequently it's happened. In the year that I've been here, this is the first time that I'm aware of it. So, you never like to fail, but I think that's a pretty good success rate. It's unfortunate that this was the one project that it happened on. That is unfortunate. I think those people were going to be angry, even if they got a notice in their mailbox. So I'm not sure that, I never like to fail. Nobody likes to fail, but I don't perceive that we have any systemic issues that need to be addressed, I guess, if that's what you're alluding to.
My question, do we have a system of checks in it where somebody checks somebody else's work before it goes public, especially something that seems to be such an important part of our process is notification of the surrounding public as to what's going on in their neighborhood.
Right. We do. The applicant's responsibility is to submit the radius map. There are independent companies that prepare these radius maps. There always tends to be a group of companies that do repeat business in cities because they get to know the city's process. When I worked in the San Gabriel Valley, there were 3 or 4 companies that did work for 90% of the applicants that did work out there. My assumption is, and I'll look to Aaron, but my assumption is we probably have the same 3 or 4 firms that do most of the radius maps here.
Yeah, I thought it was done in-house.
It is not done in-house. It's okay. The applicant.
That clarifies things. It's not done in-house for a development. It's done by the developer.
It is
so
done.
It kind of falls on the developer's shoulders to...
That is correct. And they do sign an affidavit stating that it is true and correct to the best of their knowledge. You know, we do look at them. I won't say we look at them in detail, but yes, we do look at them as part of the overall review of the what the applicant submits.
Well, that clarification, your statement about who provides it, took a whole load off of my mind as to are we goofing up or is it the applicant goofing up? It's the applicant who is responsible for providing good information to the city.
Right. And this was... yeah, this is unusual that a project would actually cross Orchard. So, you know, the applicant missed it. The applicant's attorneys missed it. I missed it. You know, we're all human, I guess, is all I can say. But am I correct, Aaron? Do we have kind of three or four companies that do most of the work here?
That is correct. And what Mr. Mark Persico covered in general, and that's what we deal with. So the application comes in, submitted. We verify that it's certified, the 500-foot radius. It's prepared in accordance with our 500-foot radius requirements. So if they follow that and notarize that, we assume we do look at it. So in this particular case, they prepare it, but I think they overlooked that particular island. And so we took it as it's notarized, it's certified. So we assumed that that would be good. And so with the notification now, I think what this lesson tells us is that we're going to do a verification, an independent verification by staff just as part of the review process to ensure that even though it's certified, we're going to get a comprehensive an overview of the process of what the applicant is doing. So, you know, it's certified, it's notarized, and so we are in the position that it's good. But I think it doesn't hurt us to do an overall sort of an overall cleanup and an overview of the application completeness process.
Okay. Well, you guys have allayed a lot of my concerns by explaining the operation to me. You know, I was sitting going, boy, if we did this in-house, we really goofed.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not a professional planner or anything else, but I know how to read a map.
Mr. Chairman, if I can also add, not only is the applicant required to provide the radius map, the mailing labels, and paying the cost of mailing the notice, they're also required to indemnify and defend the city. Had we been sued on that issue of failing to provide adequate notice on this, then the applicant would be the ones who would have to defend the city on that lawsuit and pay whatever judgment, if there was a judgment against the city.
All righty. I have nothing further. Oh.
Actually, on the subject of notices, Mark, I called you about this a couple of months ago. On South D Street, there's a new facility going in for girls volleyball.
Yes.
And also, right across the street on South D, there are two parolee reentry programs, both of which serve sex offenders.
Correct.
And in terms of notice, and when we chatted, you mentioned that the owners of the buildings surrounding that new development were notified, but not the occupants.
Correct.
I know at least the one occupant, actually the Cal State Reentry Program, was sort of caught off guard by the fact that that program was going in. That could still jeopardize their contract with CDCR in terms of, and they went to South D on purpose, knowing they would have some sex offenders and away from schools, away from parks, away from child care facilities. And so this volleyball complex is going in. Primarily going to be adolescent girls. So I guess my question is, in terms of noticing in that kind of scenario, do we need to take a look at going beyond just notifying the owner of the building? Because in this case, the owner did not notify the occupant that development was going in and could jeopardize the occupant's contractual arrangement with CDCR and so on. I guess my question is, do we need to take a look at that? Is that a protocol? Is that a policy that needs to be extended beyond just the owner of the building, but to the occupants as well?
Well, Aaron and I actually, after our conversation, Commissioner, Aaron and I looked at that, and we need to do a better job on noticing, particularly items that go to the DERC, the Staff Level Review Committee. So we have already revised those noticing procedures so that we are doing a better job. In terms of notifying occupants, there are some cities that do just send out, you know, particularly where there's an apartment building or there's a commercial complex, they, you know, address it to the occupant suite, you know, 1 through 7 or apartment 1 through 100. I'm not sure how effective those notification processes or procedures are. I think more importantly, I'm not sure that the CDCR receiving notification and coming to the DERC meeting, if that would have impacted or affected the decision of the DERC committee to approve the request. I'm not sure what our ability would be to tell a new property owner that you can't use your property as you intended because of an existing use that's around the corner. I do understand that there are some operational or potential operational issues, and I've actually met with Ron Pierce and his wife, the owners of the volleyball facility, so they're fully aware of who their neighbors are, and they actually did not have any concerns or issues with it.
Okay. Wouldn't it fall on a new property owner buying a property or purchasing a property to do due diligence on their own to find out what's already there?
At the end of the day, yes, it's your you probably took the words out of my mouth, Chair. It is the buyer of the property to do their due diligence to figure out, hey, who's around me? Particularly when you're buying commercial and industrial property, you would think that they would take greater interest. And I don't know what sort of due diligence they went through. It seemed like from my conversation with the Pierces that they weren't aware of it. But they weren't concerned when I told them about it either.
All right, any other questions, comments for staff? Well, overall, I think, Mark, you and your staff are doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
On the overall thing, considering what you walked into.
I'm enjoying my job. Like I say, best job I've had in 15 years.
I love your commitment to our city.
Thank you.
Even though you're not a resident, you're mostly a resident because you're here a lot.
I am here a lot, and I do enjoy it.
And I'll probably see you on the 28th.
Yes. Oh, speaking of that, I'm glad you said it. Food trucks tomorrow?
Third Thursday,
yes. I know not all of you work in town, but we are getting more trucks, yes.
What do we got now?
Well, this is actually a list of some of the trucks that have been here in the past. These are not the trucks that will be here tomorrow. We have 9 trucks tomorrow, but we do update our Facebook page. So if you go to SB Third Thursdays, you will find out the lineup for tomorrow. We do have 9 trucks. But if you can't attend because you work out of town, maybe you have family, friends, even enemies, send them down. Thank you.
Thank you. I entertain a motion to adjourn till June 17th.
Second.
I have a motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor? Wait a minute. What? We're going too fast? All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you again. Michael?
some policy stuff that we'll just add on there to reflect his services.